I'm back at Endicott College at the Center for Arts, and my great pleasure to be chatting with Becca Keneally, who is the chair for the Performing Arts. And Becca, first of all, we're going to start at where we are now and go backwards. What exactly is your what does your title mean, and what do you do here at Endicott?
I am the chair of the Performing Arts Department. And we have music, theater, and dance. We offer minors in those areas to any students here on campus. And we also provide performances and presentations for the public through our Center for the Arts. So I oversee all of that activity, the academic and the public outreach.
So it sounds like a combination of teaching and administration?
Yes, it is. We are professor administrators, several of us here at the campus, so we have teaching duties and administrative duties. I direct the choir, teach voice lessons, audition preparation, courses like that.
It sounds like it's a great, you know, as a teacher, what I would do is play music in class sometimes, and that was the extent of my creativity to get the guys, to get the kids kind of relaxed. But it sounds like your job is to combine the arts, but also you have to, I guess, evaluate the kids on certain aspects, certain basics, sort of like coaching maybe?
Yeah, there's an awful lot of correlation between music extracurricular and coaching, and we hold a high standard at the collegiate level, so we're teaching skills and we're helping students learn more, but all of that's for their full enrichment. I always say it's my goal that people are doing performing arts their entire lives. And where most of our students here are not majoring in the performing arts unless they've designed their own major, and we do have a few of those, but where most of them are not, our focus is on giving them the tools and the background that would help them appreciate and participate in the arts for their entire lives as to complement whatever field they may go into and for their own enjoyment.
What's the evaluation process like for students? I'm sure there are certain basics that they have to attain, but you must have to combine that with individual understanding.
Yeah, we develop rubrics around the various skills in music, theater, and dance that we work with the students to achieve. Many of our programs are beginner level, though, for them to start. So we see a lot of students who they love the performing arts. They did dance in middle school. They sang in a choir once, but then they put all their energy in high school into getting into that college, and maybe they've let it lapse. So we take even that somewhat interested beginner all the way through students who take their performing art extremely seriously and may even decide to pursue that as a career when they leave college. So we work with a wide variety of skills and abilities.
Do you have you had an experience that you said you've been here for a while now and 10 years? Have you had an experience with a student who, I don't want to say is maybe particularly super talented, but a student who all of a sudden, with all of your experience, shows you something a little bit different about what you already know?
Well, that's a wonderful question. I would have to say most definitely. And there are students who have helped me realize things that I didn't know about myself. Some of my first students that really showed some promise were new to the area. They new to the area of performing arts. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I had a student once named Katie 9 years ago who was extremely talented. She was a diamond in the rough. And because she didn't know it herself, she had not developed any kind of skills around dealing with performance anxiety. And that was something that I had spent a lot of work on myself for my own performing, and I had done a lot of research in that area, but I had never thought about teaching that to others. So Katie brought that out in me, and we've actually turned that into some coursework, and now it's really part of the curriculum because everyone experiences performance anxiety, and it even has correlation to athletics, and we work with the athletic teachers about it as well.
I'm smiling because as I sit here, I'm sweating, I'm a nervous wreck, so performance anxiety, you're spot on. Let's go backwards if we could, and then, you know, at the end I'll leave it open to anything that we might have missed. But tell me a little bit about how you got involved, maybe your background, whether it was in middle school, high school, or whatever.
Well, both of my parents are musical. My father taught music for over 30 years, especially he taught choral directing. So I do much what he did. And he and my mother met singing. She was an amateur choir singer, and almost went into music theater herself. So I grew up singing. Some of my earliest memories are of wanting to be in a choir, and I would pretend that I was directing a choir as a little child. That was just what I loved to do. I had kind of a long circular journey, like many people. I sang and thought I wanted to be a singer. I tried to give that up for a while because it just seemed too daunting, and I wrote for newspapers, and I was a journalist. But music was my heart, and when someone offered me a small job conducting a little children's choir, I remembered how much I loved it, and it spurred me to go back and get my master's in choral conducting from New England Conservatory, and that led to other things, and before you know it, I realized that I'd found my life's passion in conducting.
And you are involved in so many other outside activities as well. Can you mention a couple of those?
Well, I direct the Old North Church Youth Choir in Marblehead, and that is a children's choir program for children age first grade through eighth grade. And in the summers, I work with a chamber music festival in Ontario, Canada, where I direct the high school students who are studying chamber music, primarily string music, and they sing in the choir to develop their ear. And I also perform at that, and I perform as a singer occasionally throughout the area with lots of different groups.
Unbelievable. Sonia Pryor Dahlgren used to work at Hamilton Wenham, and I work with her brother at Gloucester High School. And my daughter went to Hamilton Wenham High School, and one year they performed Carl Orff's Carmina Burana, if I can say it correctly here.
That's right.
And what impressed me was that probably two-thirds of the student body was involved in either the band or the chorus. Which leads me to the question, when you do the outside activity with a chorus, a person doesn't have a singing voice, such as myself, you can find a way to fit that person in?
Most definitely. Lots of people think they don't have a singing voice, but the truth really is that, you know, back through history, even in archaeology, anthropology, we find that all cultures have singing as a root part of their culture. Mm-hmm. We've actually gotten farther and farther away from it in the United States. It's actually one of the reasons I wanted to go to Sweden and study in Sweden, because there 80% of their population has sung in a choir in their life. Mm-hmm. So choir singing is just part of what people do there, and many of them continue it for their entire lives.
I know, and in Japan, karaoke is big. Everybody sings in Japan, and we are so self-conscious in this country. Do you find that in your outside work or even here at Endicott that kids, I just don't want to do it? I mean, they want to do it, but they don't want to do it, if you know what I mean.
That's one of our biggest challenges, I find. You know, you have students who've been quite involved even in their high school, and they come and they think, oh, well, I might not be able to do that at a college level, or, you know, I'm not ready for that. People are very afraid of what others might think of them,
right.
And that's not just at Endicott, that's everywhere in the United States, and I think music has become something that we feel we're supposed to leave to the pros, and that's really one of my life's missions, is to show people that it is for everyone, mm-hmm. not just professionals on television or for a party game.
I have to disagree with you, because my four-year-old granddaughter, when I pick her up from preschool, we put on the Disney Channel, and I try singing, Do You Want to Build a Snowman? And she says, Grampy, stop it. So maybe I'm a candidate for one of these courses. Tell me about Sweden. Where did you go, and what was that about?
I'm a member of an organization called the American Choral Directors Association, and it's a professional organization for choral conductors like me. They've started a program called the International Conductors Exchange Program, and every year they choose a new country to launch an exchange with, and you have to audition, and they select several conductors from each country, and then they look at what their interests are and what kinds of choirs they conduct, what age groups, what difficulty levels, And they connect those people. So when I applied for the Sweden exchange program and was accepted, they connected me with two choral directors, from one from Stockholm and one from Kalmar. And they came here last year in February and worked with our students at Endicott. And they also visited all kinds of choirs throughout the Northeast. And then I was fortunate enough this fall to go to Stockholm, where I worked with one of those choral conductors who had come to visit me at his church, where they house five different choral ensembles, and I performed a concert. We also worked with other Swedish conductors and some of the other Americans who were chosen for this program, and visited their highlight choirs, their professional choirs, their fantastic youth choirs. And the whole experience was wrapped up with a Nordic Choral Directors Conference in the city of Malmö, which is right near Copenhagen. There's a bridge right across. Malmö. Yes, they would probably tell me I'm still not pronouncing it perfectly. Swedish vowels are notoriously difficult to capture for non-Swedish speakers.
I'm sure. Now, so this is what you'll be talking about partially on Friday?
Yes, I'll be talking about really the whole experience, how the conductors from Sweden influenced us and in our work here, and how I was able to bring some of our traditions there in the concert that I conducted, and also what I learned from them that I'm going to bring back. Mm-hmm. The experience was invaluable, and we're really excited to try to continue it. My choir here at Endicott, I think, would love to meet and work with one of the choirs from the Stockholm church that I was connected with. They have what they call a youth choir, which is really a college-age group, mm-hmm. and we are mounting an exchange for the coming year, 2017.
Fantastic. Mm. Is there a particular kind of music that is your favorite when you want to, if you could do anything you want to do, is there a particular genre or, you know, artist or composer or anything like that? Or is it just you love it all?
Oh, man, I do love it all. And I think that's one of the reasons I feel very lucky to be in this setting, where one of my goals is to expose the students at Endicott to as many genres mm-hmm. as I can, because they come knowing what they've learned so far, which is great. And there's so much out there. I think some of my colleagues who might work in a conservatory exam, for example, have to really work on the standards and make sure that they've covered that. I have a little bit more freedom. So I love to work on world music from many different countries, folk music. We do concerts with rock and roll. We've done hip hop. We've done rap. However, the traditional choral repertoire, nothing beats it. Music that was written for people to sing in their fullest voice with rich harmony. I don't think there's really anything like it. People can feel it, the vibration of other singers when they're really singing their fullest. For me, personally, I'm drawn to music from the 1900s, especially from England and France.
Really?
So I would say Benjamin Britten and Durufle and Faure and other British and French composers from the 1900s.
Thank God for Google. Now I got to go look that up.
Now you have to go look that up.
I definitely do.
I know.
I read an article called The Long Curve recently, and it talked about popular music, and that back in the day, you'd have to sell a million of one record, a million copies of one song. But now with the internet and with digital files and places such as iTunes, you can sell a million different songs just one time and get the same effect. And what I'm getting at here is I've discovered, by the sampling music, I've discovered music, world music, that I love that I didn't know I loved. And it sounds like that's sort of what your mission is as well with some of these kids.
Yeah, I think letting people know how much there is out there to find. And sometimes that can be overwhelming. Sometimes you have to stop and say to yourself, well, there is so much to learn and so much we could do, but where would I feel remiss if I didn't show them something before they graduate? So I'm always asking myself that question. I would hate to have a student leave here and not know that there was such a thing as, early American hymn tradition or things that are part of their history and their own culture. But as you said, there's so much out there. My students are amazing me. They bring music to me now more than ever. They are sending me YouTube clips of everything under the sun, and that feeds me. When I get something in the middle of the summer from a student saying, can't we do this next year, I'm so excited to find that music, get it arranged, find the composer. So we're in a whole different world now of repertoire than yeah. we ever were before.
I saw something on YouTube from one of those shows, you know, like American Idol with Simon, whatever his name is. And there was a boy, an 18-year-old, and a girl, and they combined to put pop and opera together, and it was mind-boggling. And I don't know if they invented that genre or what, but it's tremendous.
Well, there are a lot of there's an awful lot of mixing going on in the world mm-hmm. these days, and I think it can be done really, really well. You know, some people think it cheapens both things when you mix things. You know, I've heard the joke when you have jazz and rock fusion, people call it confusion. I think anything done well yeah. is worth doing.
If it sounds good,
if it touches people, that's why we're here. So if it touches you, if it moves you, then it's wonderful. Recently, a friend of mine at a pretty traditional church programmed Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming, the 1500s Christmas carol, combined with The Rose, the 1970s wow. hit. Yeah. And the pairing of the two was thought of by a famous choral conductor and arranged and put out together. But why not?
Yeah.
You know, some people would frown on that. I think it was a really unique way to think about that Christmas carol.
Stairway to Heaven arose from Flow My Tears, okay. from a Scottish tune back in the 1400s.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Charlotte and Jonathan, who's who I was thinking of, Charlotte and Jonathan, Simon Cowell actually... I gave them $1 million recording contract, and he hired them. You know, this is I could go on all day with questions, but you know, time is limited, and I find this absolutely fascinating. My final question, and then we'll see if you have anything that you want to mention that I didn't ask, is if you were presenting this program or presenting what you do here, this the department, to a high school, say, group of seniors who weren't quite sure what they wanted to do, what do you tell them? Because we do have we have a pretty big audience of parents and kids who follow the sports and so on. And Endicott is right here. You know, it's right here on the North Shore. How would you sell this? Maybe sell is the wrong word, but your enthusiasm and your passion for this, how do you transfer that to kids and get them to understand, hey, this is where you might want to consider coming here?
That's a great question. And I probably could take all day to answer it because I love this place. I love Endicott primarily for its internship programs. So any student studying anything is going to be able to put their interest into practice several times through their college career. And it's funny because without students having a major in performing arts, I don't even oversee very many students doing an internship. But I see what that does for the students in the performing arts. And I know that with a student who has a passion for anything, any creative, visual art, performing art, anything, they can find a way to find their niche in life with their internship and their passion. So a business major who loves music can have their internship at MTV in the business department and
beautiful,
see how
beautiful
the business
answer.
Of music
mm-hmm,
works.
Mm-hmm.
So our music students, our dancers, our actors, they love this. They love the performing arts as a passion, and many of them don't believe that they want to make it a career. But here they find out that they can make it part of their career.
Right.
And you have people talking about finding your bliss and you'll never work a day in your life if you're doing what you love. I really believe that the way we help students foster their interests in the arts and maybe even combine them into their careers, that really helps them figure out what they love and how they can do what they love.
Beautiful. I've tried to say the same thing to my kids. It just hasn't come out so eloquently, so I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And I would think the other thing is that no matter what field you're in, doing what you do with the arts, the individual has to gain some confidence.
Absolutely. There are plenty of employers in the world who actually look for specific interests when they're hiring one candidate over another, I know that I look for waitstaff training. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but people who've worked in kitchens sure. are worth their weight in gold because they are hands-on and can do anything, and they know how to work in a team. Other people say that about hiring people who've had performing arts experience because there's a certain level of confidence and improvisatory mm-hmm. skills. You never know what's going to happen when you perform, and you have to be ready to think on your feet. You have to be able to synthesize everything you've learned and put it into that moment. And that skill isn't really something you can learn by sitting in a classroom. You have to do something that forces you to take all of the things you've learned and put them out in front of people. It's invaluable. So yes, we are teaching very, very concrete, usable skills for any field that someone could go into. A perfect example would be that this semester we happen to have a surge in young men studying dance. And we think that our promotion of our dance program as a way to work on strength and stability, balance, and preservation of our bodies as athletes is really getting through, and also the confidence of presentation for our business majors. So we are expanding our program all the time because that message is getting out. So.
Whew.
I'm
also. I wish I was 17 again, you know, and looking for places to do and, you know, things to. I love being here and learning all this stuff. Is there anything else that you might want to mention that maybe I didn't ask you?
Well, it's all just a whole lot of fun. I mean, I've been talking a blue streak about what all this can do for you and how great it is, but I think we can lose sight of the fact that young people today we keep saying that they're more stressed than ever, and that a lot of that's the pressure that they put on themselves or that the world seems to put on them with our social media and the rat race of life. Finding personal balance is something that many of us in the United States are really working for. And I feel so lucky to be in a field that really just exists to remind people about the part of themselves that can't be reached with words alone, that there is more to life than the day-to-day grind. And the fact that I get to perform and show students that love of art and music and dance and theater and sharing it with them is just the greatest thing on earth. So I am a very lucky person.
Good for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is Endicott Performing Arts Chair Becca Keneally with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.